This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. And now for a segment about a pun competition. The Great Durham Pun Championship invites people from all walks of life to step onto the stage and stand up for the glorious pun. There's the retailer who sails through life without a care, the caretaker who nurses ambitions on being a writer, and the writer whose many errors make her much wronger. Many people consider puns the lowest form of humor. But Shakespeare's plays are loaded with puns, and he's not one to shake a stick at, if you get my point. So you bard be careful when you start slinging your arrows. Of course, not all of his puns were A1, but they were at least 2B. And this brings us to the annual pun contest in North Carolina. There may be no better way for topping your Sunday than to attend the Great Durham Pun Championship. George Gopin has been judging the contest for many years. He's a professor emeritus of the practice of rhetoric at Duke University, and he's putting up his dukes again to defend the honor of the pun. George Gopin, welcome back.
I am delighted to be here, Frank.
Always a pleasure to have you. Let's define pun for us and distinguish it from other forms of wordplay.
The technical term that includes all wordplay is paranomasia. Wonderful long word.
Yes, and it's great to slather on your sandwiches.
A pun is a simultaneous usage of word to mean two different things in two different settings. The fun of pun is to surprise someone by a word they've used in a sentence where they were talking about X. And you grab that word and use it in a sentence talking about why, so that the word's completely different from what it was a moment ago.
And it surprises us. And when we're surprised, we have an emotional response. We tend to laugh, though some groan and cry.
Well, the philosopher Henri Bergson defined comedy as the juxtaposition of two things that are very unlike. And neither one is funny by itself. But when you put them together, the fact that they are discordant is what brings the reaction of either the laugh or the groan. And that's why through performing history, we've seen so many comedy teams that have a tall, thin person and a short, fat person. I mean, Laurel and Hardy, Abbott and Costello, right. But all the way back to Don Quixote and Sancho Panza.
Yeah, I remember them when they came through DPAC the other day. Hey, listen, but so how do we distinguish two? Because some things that I've sort of considered puns but probably aren't. They're not really homonyms. I think of the Marx Brothers with a lot of them, like when Groucho says, you know, I hunt for elephants in Alabama because the Tuscaloosa. Is that a pun?
You know, I say yes. Yeah. Tuscaloosa is a word. It's a word that can be recognized, and it's been dismantled and remantled for this purpose. And I think it's a great pun.
Yeah, that one. You remember? And when Margaret Dumont's character says, "I resent your innuendo," and he says, "Madam, love flies out the door the minute money comes innuendo." That kind of thing. I just love this stuff. So tell us about this competition. It's been going on for a while, right?
This is its fifth. Existence in the last 6 years. It was created because Tom Campbell of the Regulator Bookstore, shortly to retire, was taken with John Pollock's book, The Pun Also Rises. Pollock was a winner of the National Pun Contest in Austin, Texas, and then became a speechwriter for Bill Clinton. And when he finished speech writing, he sat down and wrote this book about puns and about that pun contest. And Tom thought it was wonderful and thought we ought to bring a pun contest to Durham. And he called me and he said, "You're the guy." So Tom and I have been doing it together.
How does it work?
It works by our getting 24 fearless people like the lovely Molly sitting to my left, who are sharp enough and quick enough to be able to create these things on demand. So 24 people. The first round is 12 contests, one-on-one contests. And I create a category, and that isn't easy. Let us say fruits and vegetables.
What are you, nuts?
And
I'm sorry.
And then I begin.
Aren't you glad I didn't say banana?
The round by saying, of course, go pun.
Ah! George Gopin, my guest today, ladies and gentlemen.
And each contestant has, in the early rounds, 12 seconds, and in the later rounds, 10 seconds to come up with a pun on that category. If they can't, they lose. That round is over. If they can, then it's the other person's duty to come up with one within 12 seconds or later on 10 seconds. And this goes back and forth until either somebody can't do it or they've both done it successfully 10 times. And at that point, we stop that competition and we have a timekeeper who has been furiously and frantically keeping track of how long it took each person to do the puns. We add up their 10 times and the person with the shortest time wins. If that those numbers are within 5 seconds of each other, then we throw it open to the audience and they vote somebody off.
Then it would be the quality of the pun. Because the last thing you want to do is give up and just punt. Would I tell you what? Let's give us an example of how things went last year. The subject was marriage, I believe, and here's
marriage
what
and divorce.
Marriage and divorce. So you can go in both. Right, here we go.
I can tell you're an expert at poetry, at puns, at proposals.
Are you addressing me formally?
I'm glad I groomed myself for this.
You really need to tux everything back.
We were all really bridesmaid for this one.
I may have cummerbundled up a little too much.
Hang on a second. Is that a veiled insult to me?
Here we go. A clip of last year's Great Durham Pun Championship, topic marriage and divorce. You heard three finalists who tied for the title of Punster of the Year, and I am here with the event's judge, George Gopin, a professor emeritus at Duke University. And joining the conversation now is one of those champion punsters, Molly Chadbourn, one of the three winners from last year's competition. Welcome, Molly.
Thank you for having me.
What is it like to be up there? That's a lot of pressure, right?
It's a little bit nerve-wracking, but, you know, it's really pun. You have a great time up there.
And you're a nurse, right?
I am a nurse.
So do you kind of practice your trade on your patients?
I'm a very good nurse. I do not make puns in the place of administering medications or anything on my patients.
Can't that be therapeutic?
It could be therapeutic. I try to stay professional, but I am certainly always thinking of puns on the inside.
Oh, a repressed punster.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do that a lot? Like, hold back?
I do hold back when I'm at work, but if you ever see me outside of work, it is not held back. There's a lot of groans with my friends and family.
Because I'm thinking, as a nurse, in that situation, you could keep your patients in stitches.
I could. Yeah, I know. I can really needle around with them.
Wow. Yeah. That's very... See, there we go. That's just how it goes, right, George?
Yeah, I had to injection that in there, so...
I must say that round last year was the semifinal round in which we had three contestants because 24 sink to 12 and then 12 goes down to 6 and then 6 goes down to 3. It's an odd number. So I made that the semifinal round in which all three would be competing, as you heard, until one dropped out. And then we had our two finalists who would have a separate round for that. Last year's semifinal round would not stop. It went over 20 minutes, and nobody had, and they were doing this in less than 10 seconds. I mean, you just heard how quickly Molly comes up with something, a second or two. And they were going off 20-something minutes. And I was not prepared for this. I finally went up, grabbed the mic, said, stop. I hereby declare all three of you winners.
Oh, wow. It was brilliant. I mean, there's surgical precision in every one of those jokes. And what about that? Do you find that it was harder for you to pun under that kind of pressure? Because you've done it. You've said did your family sit around the table and always, the premier punster in your family?
I would say my father. Yeah. Well, formerly was the premier punster in the family. I've officially taken that title now due to winning the pun competition.
But so it was something you've always done. I mean,
was a Jamaican restaurant in our neighborhood, and they had a soda called Ting. And every time we would get food from the restaurant, we would make Ting jokes all night. Every Ting is delicious. You know, there's nothing here we would want to change. So,
and you don't want to make a jerk of yourself, so you kept doing it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you want to spice up the dinner conversation. George, what about that? I mean, people complain about puns. They tend to. It was heartening, actually, to hear your audience laugh and cheer, because people feel the need to, I think, feel the need to groan at a pun when what they really want to do is laugh. What's going on there?
I've been interested in that for a long time. I can't answer what's going on. I can only answer what I think is going on.
Yeah.
Upon arrests the conversation for a moment. It was going somewhere, and suddenly it's been wrenched onto a different track by somebody paying attention to one word in that sentence. So there is an annoying, irksome feeling of they're not interacting with me anymore. They're throwing the spotlight onto themselves and their own wittiness. And I think it's a reaction to that. Some people also feel that somebody else punning makes them feel inadequate or stupid, that they didn't see it or that they can't do it, and they just dislike any attempt to play with language like that, because language is only for the discovering of things underneath. You can't play with the surface. I think those are the reasons.
Well, maybe. I mean, it does seem that, but people sort of in the abstract say it's the lowest form of humor or
nonsense.
Something like that.
It's
because they don't get it.
Yeah.
Because they can't do it.
They can't do it, yeah.
That's what I think. All right, should we do this? We should have a contest, do you think? Okay. I should be kind to my guests, but I don't have to be. You're good, and I think this is going to be great. So I think Molly and I should contest. Because my staff suffers grievously at our meetings owing to my inability to stop punning. So we'll see how this goes. We're going to do a contest now. I don't even know how long it's going to go. How long is it going to go? Anybody know? We'll do it like 2 or 3 minutes at some point. When Molly creams me, I'll call it. I'll slither out the door. George, now you'll have to create a topic. We don't know what the topic is, right?
I hadn't thought to do that.
Think about a topic.
I actually have a list of topics in front of me.
All right. I tell you what. We'll formally begin as you think that through. Ladies and gentlemen, the contest is about to begin.
Let's deal with disasters.
Disasters is the topic. Molly and I. Disaster. That's a tragic, tragic beginning to a difficult day.
Oh,
is there
are
a start?
We going?
How does this go? How does this go? Yeah. Do we? Do you like
I have
hit
to
a
say
gong?
Go pun.
Yeah.
Oh, go pun. You didn't say that
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, you
got to
do that. Oh.
Okay. You're
going to
do that.
And also, who's going first?
And then do we take turns?
Yes, you take turns.
Oh, we don't just try
Molly's
to
gonna
talk.
Go first. She's used to it. Go pun.
Okay. I'm flooded with emotion.
Well, it's a relief to hear that you're at least feeling it.
I Tornay don't want to beat you on your own show.
Well, I think that it's a relief, and I can't think of a pun, but I will. And that's a disaster in its own right, but there you have it. I should just put up the Red Cross and quit, but I won't.
Yeah, sometimes you have to hurricane through the category just a little bit.
I find myself not able to respond in a way that is as disastrous as this is. Disaster is the topic, right?
I think respond was fair.
Respond,
also. Yeah, that was okay.
Respond is fine.
Responder.
You don't always soon meet people that can just come up with puns immediately.
Well, you may emerge as the winner of this whole thing. I think you will.
Might not be able to think of one now, actually.
Are you our winner? Is Molly our winner? Clearly.
You know, with Molly, these things just flood into her.
Oh, my goodness.
I believe that one's actually already been used.
We used that.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
That was
in the
fantastic
contest, you can't use one.
I found my, absolutely dammed up. It was there was not an ability to inject any kind of levy into this whole conversation. Anyway, it's great stuff. And it is funny how once you're on the spot, it's like, whoa. Your brain, it's like a shutdown. You get a brain freeze.
I know, and I've never done it on the radio before either.
You did great. It's an amazing thing.
It's my favorite radio station, so.
Oh!
Yeah.
Well, frankly, I like it too.
Yeah.
But thanks for the Molly jokes, and that's a jolly pun, but it's too far off. Now, what about that? Do you ever do any qualifying. Like, what is a pun when you try to rank them?
Well, I have. It's the most strenuous evening of my year. It really is hard. I mean, beforehand, I have to think up categories.
Yeah.
And for instance, I've just got the list in front of me. I just chose disastrous because it was the first thing my
eye
hit on. But it's not an ideal category because it stops the mind at first.
Mm.
And then there are you hit a vein of what kind of disasters could there be. And that set off four or five or six. And when the vein is dry, it becomes difficult to go out. Good categories give you stuff all the time, but are not so wide that anything is fodder.
Yeah.
So the categories are hard to do. While I'm in the position of judge, I have to decide in a split second, wasn't that indeed a pun or was it something different from a pun? Has that been used before this evening? Which, fortunately, the audience keeps me on the straight and narrow where that's concerned. Mm-hmm. If I don't notice it, seven people in the audience say, it's been years before.
Okay.
I have trouble hearing sometimes because both of these contestants are speaking to an audience and I'm standing slightly in back of them.
Mm-hmm.
So there is this constant pressure to hear it and judge it before the other person speaks. And as you've seen, the other person might speak almost immediately when you finish with yours. So I'm a wreck at the end of the night, much worse than...
For a pun competition of all things, George Gopin, Professor Emeritus of the Practice of Rhetoric at Duke University, will be the judge of the 2018 Great Durham Pun Championship this Sunday, February 18th at Motoco in Durham. Thanks as always, George.
My pleasure to be here, Frank. Thank you.
Molly, congratulations. What a pleasure to meet you. Molly, who is certainly the champion State of Things punster right now and may go on. Are you going to compete?
Oh, I'm in it on Sunday.
All right. Good luck. Yeah. Molly Chadbourne, one of three crowned punsters of 2017, on to the 2018 championship. And you can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org, a program produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Jennifer Brooklyn, Robert Kinlaw, Angie Perrin, and Amanda Magnus. Robin Copley is our technical director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.